It's Thursday, July 22nd, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central, the longest continuous running tech podcast. This is show number 877, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Our July GoDaddy special, GoDaddy customers get new products at 32% off by using the promo code GO32OFF1 or get a .com for just $2.49. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. We got a great show lined up for you. Chromecast is on the mind. We're going to talk about that and a lot more. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right. I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey everyone, how are you doing? Welcome to the show. Of course, all of the Ohana. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being subscribed. Thanks for listening or watching. And for those of you who are watching, you like the new lower third? That's a courtesy of Sam Garcia, one of our longtime Ohana members, longtime listener of the show. So, pretty nice. I was actually a little bit surprised on how transparent the green lower third was. So, is the text big enough? I guess that's the question. I'm a little not quite completely pleased. I got to get the text sorted out, but everything else looks fantastic. And the text is my doing, not Sam. So we'll get the scaling on that right. But hey, everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, if you're brand new. What the heck was I talking about? I was talking about the video portion of the show, if you're listening. So definitely check out the video portion of the show. And really, you can do listen or watch. Really, whoops. Let's not play the intro again. That's kind of dumb. You can go over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all our great content. Of course, you can find all the archive podcasts on the website. You can get signed up, basically subscribe to the show or sign up for the newsletter. That's all there as well, along with all the great content our writers are putting up on the website. Of course, we just had a new edition of the Gadget Professor come out talking about do-it-yourself home wireless security system. Mr. Don Bain put that out. We've got some articles that have been up. Of course, Langley and Robot Underpants and his team doing a show. And of course, we've got some articles about Chromecast as well. We'll talk about that here in a few minutes. But boy, I tell you, it's been a great week. And got a lot to look forward to over the weekend as well. So I know many of you, it's going to be TGIF today. If you're just waking up and you're listening to the show that's been downloaded, or if you're streaming it later. But don't forget, you can reach me real easy. And let's see if I can actually bring the right menu up here. You can reach me real easily at geeknews@gmail.com. Or you can call the hotline you can't even read that. It's 619-342-7365. So don't forget, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, you can always follow me on Twitter at Geek News. You can watch us as well on the Tech Podcast channel on the Roku, on the Boxy, on the Samsung Smart TV, and on Google TV. And, of course, we're a member here of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So make sure you get over to techpodcast.com. We're streaming tonight. Again, up on YouTube. So they're doing a nice job for us. We want to thank them. And of course, we want to thank our sponsors, GoDaddy.com. And, you know, GoDaddy has been with us for a long, long time, folks. And I hope that as we're drawing down here at the end of the month, I never know where the numbers are, as far as a number of people that have used the codes and, basically picked up some product. But that 32% off code is absolutely fantastic. So all you got to do is come over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Click on the GoDaddy promo code. Actually, it'll take you straight to the website, to the page. And we've got the $2.49.com for by using code Geek249. We've got the 32% off your new order at GoDaddy.com by using promo code GO32OFF1. Or you get one new.com with a free year of private registration for $4 by using the promo code FREE2. And we got everyday non-expiring offers, but these July specials are about ready to run out. So don't forget. And of course, I can blow this page up a little bit, but really this is where you come to find a code that's going to save you a lot of money over at GoDaddy.com. Clicking on any one of these takes you to the website and will actually embed the code so that you can use it when you get to the checkout counter, which is, it makes it real easy. So we want to thank all of you that are, you know, picking up products at GoDaddy. And again, GoDaddy is basically taking care of the server here. Well, not I pay for it, but Geekness Central is running on a GoDaddy server. And all my personal domains are as well, running on their host, different types of hosting accounts and so forth. And the only thing that we don't serve up at GoDaddy is the media. The media from this show would basically probably bring my servers to their knees. So we don't do that. But you can get hooked up with a GoDaddy product. Again, looking at all my promo codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And definitely get over to GoDaddy.com. All right, so let's go ahead here and let's look at my stack of stuff. You know, one thing that I've been talking with my team at Raw Voice is that our empirical data from our statistics are really becoming to be pretty incredible. And the amount of detail and information that we're able to derive from that is really good. We sent out an email blast today reminding our content creators, the 16,398, I guess, that are listed over at blueberry.com that work with us, that they have to be on our stat system in order to be qualified for some ad campaigns. I've been working this week on about 3 different large sponsorship proposals. And really what we did is I go into our system. We got a campaign management system, and I go in there and I can basically punch the data in that I'm looking for, and it builds me a list of shows to select. And really the shows that we select there at the very top are the ones that are basically running our stat system. So we're going to introduce a new product called Raw Voice Certified. And because we feel so strongly about the stats data and other companies as well, you know, companies like ESPN, companies like Quick and Dirty Tips, we've got a college that works with us that use our stats. And, you know, those companies are basically, you know, they are hardcore in making sure their data is correct. And we know with all this empirical data and all the vetting that we went through from a variety of different clients that the data is solid. I mean, solid beyond belief. And we're going to introduce this new product called Raw Voice Certified, which our premium customers are going to be able to get access to. And basically what will happen is we're going to offer a bunch of reporting features that when they get those reports, there's going to be a Raw Voice Certified logo at the bottom of the page. And I'm really excited about being able to basically bring that to the masses, to the podcasters, because it's one of those things. There's really no mark out there. There's no certification. There's no authority. And we've got enough tangible data now after doing this really since 2005 that, you know, I'm really willing to stake the reputation of the company on the data. And so we're going to make this new program, and it's something that we're going to extend to our premium customers. We're going to introduce some stuff for our network customers, again, like ESPN, like Quick and Dirty Tips, the university in England, and so forth. And basically what we'll end up doing is just having a better base of information. And basically they can hand that to an advertiser. And we've actually been talking with a number of media buyers as well who are actually going to use our commercial system, our commercial stats system, to invoke, basically, if they get a podcaster on a campaign, they're going to say, you have to run this, and here's the code that you're going to use. So basically it gives them an auditing tool, instant auditing tool. So it's going to work out fantastic. We're really looking forward to having that brought that online. So, you know, it's kind of stuff that's been going on behind the scenes. And, you know, some of the stuff that I'm involved in Raw Voice and some of the stuff that exciting stuff that's been happening recently. So anyway, that is kind of where we're standing with that. And we'll see where this goes from a traction standpoint. But if you're a content creator, it's really going to be exciting times for you because you're going to basically have a piece of paper or a PDF or an email from us that can be basically also sent to a buyer or to a third party to do validation on a show. And, you know, one thing I've always said is I don't care what the number is. You know, some people come to me and say, oh, I do 100,000 people, 100,000 listeners an episode. And in the end, it really doesn't matter because what the number is, as long as we know what the number is. And the number is very important from a measuring ROI. If we know what the exact number is, we know how we stack up against other media types. When there's a tendency, some people have this tendency to inflate numbers. What happens is it drives the ROI or drives the value down for the company. And that is never a good thing. But you want to keep that ROI as high as possible and your performance as high as possible without diluting anything falsely. And that's why the companies that we work with are, you know, really counting on us to make sure that our data is correct with very close percentage points on a day-to-day basis. I mean, very, very low, very, very low. They don't want any error. And we basically have filtered out so much stuff that we always feel very calm and say, hey, this is plus or minus, maybe a percent on what we feel the numbers is. And even that is, you know, that probably is a large number. 1% is probably a large number when you're dealing with millions and millions of downloads, but it's probably even lower than that. But you really don't want to go beyond saying that because there's always weird stuff that happens and we're watching it all the time. But really, really excited and, appreciate that the clients we have on board working with us. Okay, so let me go ahead and move on. Just a little business stuff. This coming Saturday on the New Media Show, we're going to have Rick Calvert is going to be on. He is the creator of the New Media Expo. And New Media Expo is going to be happening a few days before CES 2014. We'll have him on to talk to him about the New Media Space and the New Media Expo. So look forward to having Rick on this Sunday. Actually, the show's going to be this Sunday. Rob, my co-host, he has a family reunion he's hosting on Saturday. So there will be, it'll be on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific. All right. So anyway, that's where we're at from a what's going on here mode. We're getting into the regular content now. Got a stack of stuff for you. Let me save this and load this up. Oh, man, I tell you, this whole Chromecast thing, I have to really refrain myself because I get very, very excited when it comes to these types of announcements. When I heard the announcement, let me log out of this. When I heard the announcement, oh, crap. So when we heard the announcement from Google, I really was excited from a standpoint that this is really going to be a game changer. And, you know, all the geeks got very, very excited very, very quickly about this. And obviously it's going to be a lot of early adopters, but you know, I called Angelo and I'm like, man, order a couple of these for the company so that you'll have these, if we decide to build some code to it. And the word on the street is that they've sold like 1.7 million of these Chromecast, I guess for a better word, thobs. And what's really exciting about this is going to really, they made it simple. You know, you go through a little minor setup, you plug this thing into your USB plug on your television. It doesn't matter if you have an iPhone, an iPad, an Android, your laptop, you can send video and media and different stuff to the screen using Chromecast. Now, I can't tell you how excited I am. I ordered three. Ordered one for the living room, one for the bedroom. And I think what we're going to end up doing here is there's maybe become a TV set back behind me. I don't know. I have to think about that implementation with all the screenage that we've already got here. But and maybe we'll just give it away. We'll talk about that here in a second. But the thing here is I think this is going to be huge, not only from major media, but also for small media companies like mine. You know, ask Angel, how long to code it into PowerPress? How long to code it onto our websites? If I could snap my fingers and get it today, we'd have it and we'd be up and running. Now, I don't know how long it's going to take to code it. There's a whole bunch of factors that go along, like, okay, you hit, if you're on a website and you send it to Chromecast, and then what happens? Do you have to have the interface to pause it and stuff on your computer? I don't know how it all works. And I'm sure there's going to be a WordPress plugin as well. But main thing is I want Angela to spend this weekend really looking at what this is going to take to implement, how hard the API, SDK stuff is, software development platform, and let me know Monday, okay, this is going to take 40, 80, 120, 160 hours, whatever it's going to be to implement, then we can make it a business decision on where we're going to want to go. Now, if I had my druthers, this would be like ready to punch out on Monday, and we would be part of these 2 million. We'd basically come up and say, hey, we're Chromecast ready for the 2 million folks that are going to be getting these Chromecast dongles. And to me, this is just, it's blown me away. I'm beyond excited. I really, really am. And as Jeffrey wrote on the website, is Chromecast the only set-top box you'll need? And I'm going to be honest with you. This thing is going to give Roku a major run for the money, because we all know that we're sitting on our lazy boys on our couches in front of our TVs, and we have a laptop, or we have a tablet or our phone. Our kids are doing stuff and say, Mom, check this out. And they send it to the television. You know, I can, you know, all kinds of stuff I can imagine is going to happen with this. And, by the take up on this, with Amazon selling out, this is going to be huge. Now, the main thing to remember here, this is not Apple TV or TV or TiVo. This is fundamentally different. Think of it like this. If there are things on the web that you'd like to see in your television, this is extremely easy, portable, and an inexpensive way to do it. The dongle costs $35. And it's also going to run smartphone apps that use the Google Cast API. Right now, it's just Netflix, YouTube, and Google Play. That's good. Don't get me wrong. Got to have a good Wi-Fi connection. So wherever you plug this thing into your TV, you got to have good Wi-Fi, because you don't stream it from your notepad to the device. It takes over and connects and pulls the data themselves. And it's going to be really awesome. It's going to be fun to travel with. Man, it's going to be right in my suitcase. I'm going to get to the hotel, boom, plug it in. It's going to be awesome. And if you forget it, it's not going to be a disaster that you left it plugged into the back of your hotel room television. And if you're running it in a browser, Amazon Instant Video, Hulu Radio, HBO Go, all just work from within the browser itself as well. But you have to use an Android phone or Chrome web browser to set it up at this point. And it has to draw power from a cable. So, but basically, it plugs into the television, has a little USB thing, and goes to a power supply. It's got to be powered somehow. It's not going to get powered from your TV. But they initially offered it with Netflix, but I guess the demand was so big that Google said, oh, we can't handle it. The overwhelming demand for the Netflix stuff is... made them shut it down. I didn't think they figured they were going to sell as many as they did. But this is going to be different than AirPlay. I think the biggest difference is it's cost effective. It's $35. And it's able to play from your laptop or PC. You don't have to have a laptop or a tablet or a phone. And you know, people are just going to be racing, absolutely racing to get this implemented across many months. I'm telling you, I'm just excited about this as Google TV. I'm probably is more excited about this than the Roku launch. Google TV obviously was very high, expensive. The take-up wasn't as large. But Google TV is going to get Chromecast support in a future update. But just remember, this kind of almost eliminates Google TV. And it was done by the same group that built Google TV. So that tells you something here. But I don't know. I'm just really, really excited about this. And I think it's going to be a game changer. I don't know. Do you guys think this is just going to be for the geeks? You know, I'd really love to hear your feedback on this. Do you guys really think it's going to be just for the geeks? Or do you think this is going to be something that just knocks something over? Hang on. Do you think this is going to be something that the rest of the country is going to be able to get behind? You know, that's what I want to know. Do you think they're going to have enough forward momentum on this to make an impact? I think of selling 1.7 million of these already is a big number. They're sold out, you know, so that's how huge this is. So we'll see. Chromecast. And you know what's so funny is I was like, do I have that domain? Because I got Chrome Show. And I was like, I think I've got that domain. And I was like, oh my God, if I have that domain, time to capitalize on it, put an Amazon link on my webpage. And I went to GoDaddy and I logged in and went to my domain list and Chrome Show, the Chrome Show, no Chromecast. And I was like, ah, because that was like a domain that was readily available and I should have bought it like a year and a half ago. Oh man. Yeah, that's just one of those that you just sit back and go, well, you say a four-letter word. You really do. Because, you know, you're so irritated with yourself. Why didn't I get that domain? You know? And you know, you win some, you lose some. And I was so excited because I was like almost in a frenzy going over to GoDaddy to see, because I loaded it up and I said, I don't think that's it. I don't think that's mine. That's not a parked one. So anyway, long story short, I missed it. So let's switch gears here a little bit. I'd love to hear what you guys think about Chromecast. Are you guys excited? Did you order one? And what the heck? Let's give one away. And, you know, $35, they're cheaper than Roku's. Again, you don't have to have an Android device. You can just have your web browser or your laptop. So all you got to do is send an email. Send an email to geeknews@gmail.com. Put Chromecast in the subject line, and we'll put you in for in a contest. We'll have a random drawing. We'll give one away on the next show. So $35, man, it's, you know, I'm thinking to myself, get one for my mom. You know, really, you think about this is something that you can get your non-geeky friends. And it's a cool gift. And, you know, I ordered three. So I guess I'll be ordering four and sending to one of you. Again, send an email to geeknews@gmail.com. Put Chromecast in the subject line. Let me know what you think. Just write me a short note. Tell me what you think about where this is, what basically is going to be the potential on this. All right, switching gears here. 3D TV. Has it died? Or was it really never alive to begin with? It's a great article over in digitaltrends.com talking about this. You know, I think we're all bombarded with the talk about how cool 3D was, but we've really never seen it take off. I've seen some cool demos at CES, but is 4K really what's going to be the next thing? You know, I guess that's the question, but you know, did you buy a TV with 3D, and how many movies have you watched that actually were 3D that you could use your glasses on? I really would love to hear from you guys on this. Have you used your 3D TV at all? If you have, how many videos have you watched that were 3D enabled and it was really worth it? Or are you just watching Blu-ray stuff on it? Or DVDs, you know? 9 out of 10 times when we get stuff out of Redbox, it's a DVD. It's not a Blu-ray. So, okay, moving on. Hey, five hackers have been indicted for the largest known financial data breach in U.S. history. Now, these are just, I guess, everyday run-of-the-mill hackers. And some that are, they basically siphoned off. There was four Russians and a Ukrainian. And it's basically broke into the networks belonging to major corporations like NASDAQ, Dow Jones, 7-Eleven, and JCPenney, siphoning more than 160 million credit card numbers and bringing about millions of dollars in losses. They said about $300 million they charged on this. They did this with SQL injections to it basically installed malware, and then let them crack passwords and snag other sensitive data. Vladimir Drinkman and Dmitry Smilants have been arrested. While the arrests, Alexander Kalinin, Roman Kotov, and Mikolai Ryatkov remain at large. So, but boy, oh boy, huge. So if you've done any business with NASDAQ, Dow Jones, 7-Eleven, or JCPenney, change your passwords. Keep changing them, updating them all the time, especially now. Update your passwords daily. We'll talk about that more in just a few minutes. But another thing it was, I should have actually talked about this earlier. You guys going to buy the new Nexus 7? Google's new Nexus 7 is a few people have got them in review hands. I've actually applied for review. We'll see if one comes. But price is pretty good. It's got a Retina display. And the centerpiece, of course, it's got a 1920 by 1200 resolution panel on the small slate. It's thinner than its predecessor. The side bevels are smaller, which is nice. And both the grippy back are super glossy screen, are big fingerprint magnets, of course. But Google boosted the sound of the tablet with the addition of a second speaker. It's got 2 gigs of memory in the device, makes a big difference to the overall performance as compared to last year's Nexus 7. So the 1.5 gigahertz Qualcomm chip in it, it seems to have plenty of power yet. It's going to have the new Android 4.3. Of course, it's got a rear-facing camera, which is a welcome addition. No information on battery life, but it does have a 4,325 mAh capacity battery. And comes in just about every flavor there is known to man. GPS seems to work good. And but boy, oh boy, you know, with the people excited about Chromecast, they're just going to load this up and send it to your television set. But you plan on picking one up? I'm not at this point. If I get the review in it, I'll see how it works and I'll let you guys know. Switching back here, Amazon Cloud keeps on growing. Boy, oh boy. Amazon Web Services logged $844 million in sales for the second quarter. So that continues to grow. That's huge from a dollar standpoint. So congratulations to Amazon on that. Even though they did show, I think, a net loss, they did pretty good. Nielsen, though, on the other hand, Nielsen is saying that global ad spend display, basically display ads, are seeing double-digit growth. Lots of money still going into television. It basically breaks down. Media change so far. Television is up 3.5%. Radio is down 0.2%. Outdoor, whatever that means, is up 4%. It must be display ads, is up 4.3%. Newspapers are down 4.7%. Magazines are down 2.8%. The internet, of course, is up 26.3%. And cinema is down 5.8 in the amount of advertising being done. So definitely internet is growing like crazy, even though the internet only had 4.4% of the total ad spend so far to date. I don't get it. I don't watch ads on TV. I don't know how they're still demanding those very, very high dollars. Have you guys been hearing about this forthcoming movie called Gravity Trailer? Gravity. Well, they've had some pretty amazing movie trailers that have been introduced recently. I'm going to link to one. It's going to flip you guys out. This movie is probably going to be the movie to go see on the big screen. It's definitely going to be very cool. Now, it's going to open up on October 4th. But the previews of this thing, they've been rocking it. And people that are seeing the preview in movie theaters are you know, kind of having this almost hold their breath type of reaction to it. So if you've seen some of the previews on the big screen, I'd love to hear your reaction as well. And of course, you can always email me here, geeknews@gmail.com. Hey, NASA has basically posted some images on a part of the sun we've never seen before. And it's kind of interesting here. They've got this new basically satellite up. It's called the Interface Region Imaging Spectrograph, IRIS. The mission, which launched on June 26th to examine the sun's atmosphere, just released its first image, revealing a part of the sun that was unseen until now. IRIS instruments is part of ultraviolet telescope, part spectrograph. It snaps high-res images, monitoring just 1% of our brightest star at a time. It looks at just one wavelength at a time, and it is so powerful it can pick up a very detailed feature of the sun down to 150 miles across. IRIS exists to give scientists a better look at how heat and energy move through the sun's mysterious lower atmosphere and why those electronic scrambling sun flares cause a strife down here on Earth from time to time. So NASA's got a video about this up. I'll have this link up in the show notes as well. But very, very cool. And the video is kind of creepy. But nice job by NASA. And again, studying our own sun. They've had a lot of interest in the sun here recently. Hey, over on Psy.org, P-H-Y-S, and that's why how I pronounce it. If I pronounce it wrong, I just, go ahead, sue me. But over at Psy.org, they've got this cool video. Cold War nuclear weapons storage facility video now available. And they went out to Los Alamos. You know, I've been up to Los Alamos before. Many years ago. And let me tell you, the people that work at Los Alamos have some big brains. And the city right outside of Los Alamos is kind of like this hippie community almost. It's kind of weird. The town right outside of Los Alamos Labs is, I think it's got like two bars and a grocery store and a Hilton. It's got like a Hampton Inn or something like. It's not a big town. But hanging out there for 2 or 3 days, I went to some meetings a number of years ago back deep in on the lab's property. And this is when I was still in the Navy. It's like the whole Los Alamos thing is made up of way smart people. And it's kind of bizarre. It's a culture of its own up there. And of course, Los Alamos National Laboratory sits on top of a remote mesa. And actually, going back to Albuquerque, the back way out of there is just absolutely incredible views. You go up the boring way and then go the back way to go home. And you go through an Indian reservation coming out, and it's just incredible, an incredible drive. But anyway, this video has takes you back into this tunnel, this vault built inside side of a mountain, basically, and goes into a canyon wall, and built in the late 40s. And this is where the neutrino was discovered, was inside this big vault, I guess. And, of course, it's the only Nobel Peace Prize that has been issued to Los Alamos was... a Nobel Prize in Physics was the for the work they did in the discovery of the neutrino. But long story short, here this video is pretty slick, and the people that do the tour are pretty normal. But some of the lab people have, for a better word, and I have to say it just was big ass brains. They are super, super smart. One guy that I knew for many years, I won't say his name, but he's a fellow and at one of the labs. And this guy, and to be a fellow at one of the labs, this is not a small feat, folks. And I don't know where his IQ is, probably on the far side of 200, heading to 3 or 4. But, you know, one time I was having this problem and I showed him my issue and, you know, I'd been working on it for 2 or 3 days. And he said, oh, why don't you do this here? And I was like, oh, really? He's like, oh, yeah, this, and that. That'll fix it. And it did. And I just, you know, but this guy was able to, at the same time, have this big vision. He was able to come down into a, and talk to you one-on-one. And I swear, if you hang out with smart people, you can almost get a PhD just from the stuff that they talk to you about and what rubs off. Now, unfortunately, I can't share with you any of the stuff that we ever talked about. But these guys are, if you ever meet someone that works at one of our national labs, Los Alamos, Sandia, a variety of different labs, these guys are really incredible, especially if they're one of the scientists or one of the engineers. They probably will never be able to tell you about their work, but they can talk about physics and talk about different types of stuff. And it really, and if you're a smart person, I mean, if you're on that right-hand side of this IQ chart, you know, fast approaching 200, this is that type of place you want to work. And just tell you, these guys do some cool stuff. I mean, you think working at Google's cool? That's nothing. That's nothing. These guys work on some really cool stuff. And, but anyway, this video just made me kind of laugh because it just kind of opened up this floodgate of old memories from years and years ago. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about some news that broke today. A report. Again, this is only a report. A report is feds are demanding user passwords from web companies. Now, again, this is a report that was put out by CNET. Declan McCullough, who's been hawking government surveillance beat lately, cites two anonymous sources who say they've been at the receiving end of such requests. We don't know anything about the sources, and all of the companies that they talked about asked to either be denied to disclose where they'd been asked or didn't respond. So in other words, basically everyone's clammed up on this. But wow. It's just another thing. Again, this is all speculation, what's being basically reported on Gizmodo and over on CNET. So I have a link up for you guys to take a look. Again, form your own opinion and do what you want with that. In a more weird type of science article, memory implantation, is that right? Implantation is now officially real. We know that the movie Inception is getting closer to reality by planting false memories into the minds of mice. Neuroscientists at MIT have created the first artificially implanted memories, and they brought us closer to understanding the fallibility of human recollection. So this is pretty crazy. In a study published in the latest issue of Science, a team of researchers led by MIT neuroscientist and Nobel laureate Sam Susumu Tonegawa demonstrates its ability to isolate and activate engrams in a mouse's memory-rich, what they call hippocampus. The researchers go on to implant false memories in the mouse's mind, causing it to recall experiences that have never actually occurred. Here's how they did it. First, his team genetically engineered mice capable of expressing a protein called, and I'm not even going to try to read it, CHR2. The protein was expressed exclusively in the hippocampus and only in neurons involved in the memory formation. This allowed Tanigawa and his team to effectively label only the brain cells encoding for a specific engram. They place a mouse in a safe environment, chamber A, and the brain cells encoding for the memory of his environment. So here's the brilliant part. CHR2 is light-sensitive protein. Shine a light on it with the tip of an optical fiber that's been securely implanted in the brain, and cells that express it become activated. So this is some weird stuff here. So what they did was while the mouse is busy recalling the first environment, the researchers deliver a mild electrical shock to the rodent's feet. The shock conditions fear into the mouse. And past research shown that if one shocks a mouse in a specific environment frequently enough, it will freeze in trepidation when reintroduced to the environment at a later date. But what happens when a mouse in one environment is shocked while recalling a different previous environment, one in which it received no foot shock? Incredibly, when Tanigawa and his colleagues placed the mouse back into chamber A, which is a blue chamber, it stopped in its tracks, evincing behavior signs of fear. The mouse's reaction indicates it formed a false memory associated with chamber A while standing in chamber B. Some of this is way deep stuff, but anyway, they think they can might be able to implant stuff, but this is really on a low level, and scientists gone crazy on shocking mice and sticking fiber optic probes in their brains. Just something about that just seems a little odd, don't you think? And of course, if you are against study on animals, this probably repulses you. But it's just amazing what these guys, what lengths these guys go to. Where do they think this stuff up? You know, I'm just reading this. I'm like, huh? You know, it's just to me is just like, wow. Anyway, it's putting in false memories. I think we all could use a few false memories in a good way. All right, Kickstarter project canceled after the dude spends the money. If you're donating some money to help Spike Lee get back on his feet, maybe you think twice. This guy raised over $120,000 to make a game, then just walked away. So apparently, Eric Chevalier wanted to make a new nerd-approved board game. So he tried to raise $35,000. Instead, he raised $122,874. But he never got the game built. And he was working with some folks, and they had some infighting. And long story short, he moved to Portland. I guess the Kickstarter helped him move to Portland, but apparently the money is gone. He says he's going to pay it back, but who knows how long it's going to take. But this didn't happen. This happened a year ago. May 7th was the start of the funding period. And again, the project was canceled, and this guy basically apologized. And so take that $30 and flush it, because you're not getting any of it back. So what happens when you don't fulfill on a Kickstarter? Kind of stupid to have spent the money. Hey, article over in Geek News Central. And I guess I want to notice something here. Let me show you something. You see what Sam did? He was really smart. You guys notice the on the GNC website, you got the data stream there. And you look on the bottom of what Sam did with our with the logo. Very, very smart, Sam. You know, I would have never thought that in 100 years. Anyway, Share.com gives 100 gig of storage space. Shared Media have announced a new service where you can share files with others instantly up to 100 gigs in the freemium model with a 2 gig upload cap. So, anyway, that's up and available. But, of course, you know, this could be another mega upload. But we'll see where this happens. See if they continue down the road, if they're able to stay in business. But I don't know if I'd put anything up there that I would want to worry about on a long-term basis. All right, NTT Docomoco prototype breathalyzer. It doesn't check for drinking. It checks to see if you're burning fat. And basically, it can tell if you've exercised hard enough. And what it does is the handheld uses gas and pressure sensors to monitor levels of acetone. Of course, the substance created during fat burning, partly expelled via the lungs in the breath, and can display fat burning potential on a phone via Bluetooth. The creators tested prototypes on a small group and found those who didn't diet or exercise or did light exercise didn't show any signs of fat burning, but those that they watched what they ate and upped activity did. So this could be kind of cool. No availability in commercial use yet, but you got to breathe into it every day. Say, okay, did you exercise enough? You guys like a Guinness, fellas, ladies? Do you like a Guinness? Nothing better than a Guinness. A nice, ice-cold, frothy Guinness. Oh, fantastic. Especially if you're drinking it in Ireland. But if you are in the UK, Guinness has a promotion running right now. You can have a nice Irish stout. Basically, Android and BlackBerry users with NFC-enabled devices, basically, if you go to a bar, and you simply tap your phone on the Guinness logo at one of 20 participating pubs, fill out some information on your phone, and if you're lucky, you get one on the house. So save you a few pounds there by or euros by getting yourself a nice stiff Guinness. Love them. Amazon Cloud Drive photo app for Android now works for videos too. If you've been using this, I have not, but if you have, the Cloud Drive Photos app been updated, and again, it works for videos, so definitely check that out. TechCrunch has the actual full financial report from Amazon. Amazon's quarter two disappoint. Sales were up 22% to $15.7 billion, but they still had a net loss of just a measly $7 million. So they didn't lose too much or a penny per diluted share. Analysts expected $15.74 billion in revenue and 0.05 on earnings share. So they definitely took a little hit here, but we'll see what the call does tomorrow when they basically talk about what happened. Google's added GrooveShark to its privacy search filter. Google's quietly expanded its list of censored search phrases with the addition of music streaming service GrooveShark. The piracy blacklist was introduced to curb copyright information and prevent popular keywords from appearing in Google's instant and autocomplete services. And precisely what grounds the cited censor GrooveShark is unknown. But if you try to shoot for search for GrooveShark, you're not going to find them on the web. Just going to have to type it in. Google's also removed 100 million pirate searches results this year. Since January 2013, copyright holders have asked Google to remove more than 100 million links to infringing web pages, which is already double the number Google possessed for the whole 2012. The search giant is currently processing an average of 17 million infringing links per month. That's pretty incredible. 100 million links so far this year. Movie banned by censors become a piracy hit with Kiwis. While there are often disputes over what age rating films should be awarded, New Zealand censors have just gone a step further by banning a horror film from any kind of public distribution. Censor says that Maniac, a serial flick starring Elijah Wood, is potentially injurious to the public good and cannot be shown in theaters or released on DVD. Maniac's distributor says that the banning is an invitation to piracy, and the signs are that exactly what's happening. People say you can't do something, they go out and do it. So they're picking it up via peer-to-peer. So it will be in the New Zealand market no matter what. All right, a list of congressmen today who voted for and against the amendment to stop the NSA spying has been made available online. Congress nearly defeated a law to completely cut off funds to the National Security Agency's Dragnet spying program. So if your representative didn't stand up for the Fourth Amendment rights, there's a list of everyone who voted for and against. So anyway, let's see here. How did my representative do? Let me look and see if I can find her name, CDEFG, Hanabusa. Where's her? Okay, she was A. Let's look at the nays. So, Hanabusa. Did she even vote? B, C, D, E, F. I don't even see her name in the list. Did she abstain? Oh, I must be missing her name in here. Oh, there she is. She voted Hanabusa. She voted no. So, okay. So she's a Democrat here from Hawaii. She did not vote for it. So, interesting. So she voted to extend it, not to stop it. So, makes you go, doesn't it? So anyway, you can look up your congressman. Person on the website. I have that link up in the show notes for you. Also, iHeartRadio adds on-demand talk programming, lets listeners participate via Spreaker. So Clear Channel own online radio platform iHeartRadio isn't just about music anymore. The platform added talk radio content from ABC News, American Public Media, TMZ, The Wall Street Journal, and others, and basically through a partnership with Spreaker. So that's kind of an interesting move here. But anyway, Spreaker has a lot of audio content. Dish wins Hopper case again as more TV power shifts to the upstarts. But basically, Dish's controversial DVR product is in the clear after California Appeals Court ruled on Wednesday that the Hopper's ability to skip ads and record swaths of primetime TV doesn't violate copyright law. The unanimous 3-judge decision is a blow to Fox, which sued Dish last year and other broadcasters, which fear that ad skipping will erode the value of their advertising. Fantastic. I think this is a great win. Get the money out of the television, people. One of the folks that I pay attention to in the podcasting space is Andrew Horitz. And he does a financial podcast. And Andrew has run a lot of our advertising campaigns on his another podcast he has. But this DH Unplugged, it is a pretty good little podcast. And he has basically said that the bond market is near collapse. And I kind of like, what? So, you know, this guy's not any fluke. He's a very serious investor. They run a service where people can watch. Basically, they send different, they watch different stocks. And if you're invested one, they give you some, heads up if you think you should be moving out of it. But if you listen to financial stuff, I'll have this linked up. And you can listen to the audio clip. But so he has good insights for really anyone who invests anything. And I don't want to give any financial advice here. And invest as you feel you should. And you put your money where you feel you can risk it. But every once in a while, you want to... I had some advice a number of years ago. I was in Japan, and I don't know if I've told this story or not. This is when I was much younger. This would have been 1984 time frame, maybe 85, and had a girlfriend in Tokyo, and her father was number 7 at Sony. Yes, I know I probably should have married the girl, but when you're young, you're just young. So anyway, long story short, he had given me some financial advice, which, I send him a bottle of Johnny Walker every Christmas, even to this day, for the advice that he gave me on some investments. And every once in a while, you get some advice from somebody, and it just kind of sticks with you. You think, okay, maybe I should listen to this person. And, I have this sneaking feeling that... what Andrew's saying in this podcast the back of my brain is like, look at your investment holdings, Todd, and see where you're at on certain things. And again, I have an IRA, I have a small mutual, I'm not a heavy investor, never have been. I made a few couple smart investments early on in life that really has pay dividends. But long story short, it's just one of those things like, okay, let's look and see what we have and how many bonds are, the stuff that I'm in. And it might be time to watch that. And part of it is Detroit bonds are going to get destroyed. If you've got bonds in any of those cities or Philadelphia or any of those other places, you're screwed. You really are. But there's some big blue state cities that are really going to crumble here, and watch where you've got your money loaded. All right, NASA's Orion crew spacecraft passed a 10th in a series of tests of its landing system Wednesday, landing safely from an altitude of more 10,000 meters. The Orion capsule, there's Orion beer. It's made in Okinawa. It's fantastic. The Orion capsule prototype was dropped from a C-17 cargo plane at altitude of 10,700 meters or 35,000 feet. And they came down on two parachutes. They cut one of the parachutes away. They wanted to see how well it would do on two, and it did just fine. This should be well known to all of you, the geekies that listen to the show. If you want to basically stay private, turn off your smartphone's camera's GPS to protect your privacy. If you're taking pictures inside your house and you have the GPS turned on, that all is embedded in the picture. A lot of people find out about that later on, but you guys are all good. You know that. Our U.S. government data center count rises to 7,000. The U.S. government keeps finding more data centers. Federal agencies have more than 7,000 data centers, according to the latest stats from ongoing IT consolidation process. The number started at 432 in 1999, but soon began to rise as agencies found more facilities and exploded once the Obama administration decided to include server closets as well as dedicated data centers. The latest estimates is more than double the 3,300 facilities the government thought it had last year. The process has led to the closure of 484 data centers thus far, with another 855 planned over the next year. The GAO continues to call for the process to look beyond the number of facilities and focus on savings. Yes, please do. Consolidate that stuff and save us some cash. Now, I'm not, I don't even claim to even, you know, I know about this much in astronomy, and that's about a thimble waterfall, you know, 1%. That's my depth of my astronomy knowledge. So today, when I was reading an article from the NASA Jet Propulsion Laboratory out of California Institute of Technology, talking about NASA's WISE finds centaurs may be comets. I'm like, centaurs? What is a centaur? I know what a comet is. So I started reading this article, and every once in a while you're like, boy, I'm stupid. You know, you really, sometimes you just look at this, and so now, of course, what I'm going to do now is spend several hours, because I didn't really understand this whole region, certain region of space where all this, I understand that they're asteroid belt. I understood that. But this is a pretty cool article here, and talking about stuff that's in our solar system. So anyway, I'll have a link up in the show notes on this, and how centaurs may be comets. And if you're scratching your head as much as I was, the link will be up. Hey, Sprint's turned on LTE TDD, allowing it to compete with AT&T and Verizon coverage and performance. So if you live in Chicago, Denver, Los Angeles, Miami, New York, San Francisco, Seattle, and Tampa, and you have a tri-band LTE data device, you probably got a lot faster today. So very, very cool. So I'm going to be looking to see what's going to happen with Clearwire here, because they're going to be trying to move people around on Clearwire a little bit. So we'll see where this happens. But Sprint has a huge amount of 200 megahertz of frequency to mess with. That's a lot. All right, light stopped completely for a minute inside a crystal. Now, listen to this again. Light stopped completely for a minute inside a crystal. Now, if you want your brain cells to explode a little bit, this article over on Extreme Tech is going to talk how they used a specific crystal and a couple of lasers to basically stop light. Yes, stop. Stop it. And basically stored it. It wasn't like it was fancy. It was three bars. But still, oh, wait till you see this. This when you read through this, you're going to go, whoa. So quantum mechanics in action here, folks. It's going to be, could be some exciting times ahead. Last couple of articles for you. OnStar, Garmin, trying to keep pace with WAAS and offering free navigation apps. We're going to see a lot of this heat up. And basically them trying to basically use our cell phones instead of those standalone devices, and also give us more information about traffic and how to reroute it when we're on the move. Here's the biggest thing I hate about using a GPS. It sucks the battery big time, so make sure you've got your cable with you to keep it plugged into the cigarette lighter. Hey, car hackers use laptop to control standard car. A great article on BBC. Actually, the video is pretty cool. So if you want to see how hackers basically are really controlling a vehicle in a big way by tapping into the electronics, yeah, I think you'll be worthy to watch it. And despite gains, Facebook is currently worth $24 billion less than when it first went public. So anyway, investors continue to take it in the shorts on this one. But revenues in quarter 2, 2012 were $1.18 billion. Revenue in quarter 2, 2013 was $1.81 billion. So considerable amount more, $700 million. And then, of course, the net income in quarter 2, 2012 was $157 million. Net income in quarter 2, 2013 was $333 million. So, they're doing okay. But the investors are still probably a little bit irritated. Anyway, that wraps me up for the content tonight. Let me look and see what we've got in email. And I know we got a couple of emails that came in. And let me load this up. And some of the emails that came in from the previous show, I could never find. I don't know where they went. I must have dumped them in the wrong folder or something to that matter. Now, let me look at today's date. Today's the 25th. Last show was on Monday the 22nd. And I'm going to start off with an email from Paul. He says, oh, yeah, I did find some of these from CES. Sorry. Hey, Paul, hey, Todd, still enjoying the show as always. Just a couple of things I would consider feedback. As regards CES, I believe there will be more than enough coverage out there for you not to take any financial risk on your part to cover it. If you do, then I want to see that. If you do, then I will see it as a bonus. Smiley. I've been to the GNC website a number of times now and looked at articles from various sources. My point is that you can't share them via G+ because I've never been able to find one. I'm forced to copy your and paste it to the, paste it. So there's, if you look on, let me look here, go to the bottom. And if I, where did the G+ link go? It was on here. You're right. Let me go to the main page. Is it on the main page? Subscribe. Why, by golly geez, where did that go? All right. We'll fix that, Paul. Thanks. Thanks for the heads up. So, P.S., I hope you enjoy your staycation. I definitely will. Got an email here from MS Small Biz. Says, Todd, there's an interesting post about basically rounding up an army to push back on companies trying to patent anything and everything. Step one, read the patent. Step two, you Google for keywords found in your patent or similar concept. Step three, you submit your references prior art. An example given, Microsoft tried to patent the scaling of images. So I'll link this up. Joel on Software is about the victory lap for patents. Got an email from Micah. Said, hey, Todd, please find a link to a recent press release. Same press release to Mockum is attached. Please do what you can to cover this. Encourage product, service, and app developers to incorporate accessibility into their offerings. Now, Micah is vision impaired, and so he has a link up here to the NFB.org and basically talking about Square collaborating accessibility enhancements and Square registers and Square Valet, Square Wallet. So I have that linked up. I did not read it, Micah, but I'll definitely have it up in the show notes. But again, this was a National Federation of the Blind and Square collaborate on merchant and consumer mobility app accessibility. So cool. I got an email from Ross. Hey, Todd, here's a story from the city of living in St. John's, Newfoundland. Did I mess that up? He's got me the link here. Now watch a story so you can get the pronunciation of Newfoundland, as you always pronounce it wrong when you read one of my emails. Newfoundland. he's pissed. I'm sorry, Ross. I should have watched the video. Okay, back to the story. The lady bought Clash of Titans for her 7-year-old twins. Game is recommended for ages 9 and up. That was her first mistake. The second mistake was she gave her iTunes account password to her twins, who racked up $3,000 in app purchases. Apple refunded the money, which I say was wrong thing to do. My brother-in-law isn't too tech savvy, so when it was time to get an iPad, I went with him. I also showed him how to set it up, not tie a credit card to it, but to use iTunes cards. Make a good password and never give the password to your boys. This way, they have to come to you install games. I do that in my house. And I love the podcast. And now that you know how to pronounce Newfoundland, you can read out my name and city. Take care, Ross Craig out of St. John's. Okay, I'll watch the video. I'll get it right the next time if I got it wrong. I apologize. And I got an email from Jack. Chris, this is Jack, who works with us at CES and stuff. He said, aloha, Todd. He says, what a great promo from Naval/Military Aviation. I could not agree more. When I was in the military, my first assignment out of pilot training was the A-7, which is no longer in service. This was at the time, a single-seat, bleeding-edge of aviation ground attack aircraft. I could not imagine another career in the world where a 20-something was given access and control to $50 million worth of equipment, and it was pure joy and adrenaline. The only downside is that after that experience, I never cared to go on any amusement park rides. They were all too boring. Jack, you got that right. Nothing like being upside down in an F-18 at a very low altitude going very fast. That is as exciting as it gets. I'm going to just tell you straight up. tell you a little story about the A7, Jack. When I was stationed at NAS Lemoore, California, of course, a big F-18 rag, several F-18 squadrons. But when I first got there in 1983, 84, 87, 80. It had been about 88. Yeah, maybe 84, 87. Yeah, probably 88. When I got to Lemoore in 88, I was attached to what they call OMD, Operational Maintenance Department. And we took care of helicopters, and I flew on both the helicopters and on C-12s. And I basically was a C-12 crewman, more commonly referred to as coffee tier me. but anyway, long story short, I remember standing on a flight line one day, and I heard this aircraft coming in. It was in trouble. Of course, the A7 has a single engine, and I hear this boom, and the engine was failing, and this guy was really low. I mean, you could tell he was not going to make the threshold. And for those of you that when you go flying and when you're landing, when you fly over the top of the lights, and it turns to concrete, you're basically over the threshold, the landing threshold. But if you land before the lights, that's usually a bad thing. That's usually dirt, or there could be a fence or a ditch or ocean. In Lemoore, it was just dirt. And he landed about 200-300 feet of the threshold. Now, it stayed upright. He stayed straight. And the dirt was just flying everywhere. And he blew out some of the lights as he crossed onto the threshold, because the aircraft was still rolling straight. And he was smart enough to drop the hook. And as he crossed the landing threshold resting gear, it got him stopped. And I know that dude, if he didn't clean his drawers out, but he got it back. The airplane suffered a little damage, of course. But he didn't punch. He had every right to bail on this thing, but he did a good job getting it back to the airport and on the ground. But I just, it was kind of one of those things like, I'm going to see a crash. It happens so quick, but cool stuff. Anyway, that thought I'd share that with you, my little A7 story, Jack. It's the only airplane I ever see land like that, besides one that I was in that was in pretty bad shape. So, anyway, thanks for your email. Okay, so that's the kind of stuff that we love to tell here on Geek News Central, those fun stories like that, right? Don't you guys love this kind of stuff? Email me. Let me know what you think of the show. Call the hotline, 619-342-7365. Follow me on Twitter at Geek News. Support our sponsor this month. And you know what? Talk to the folks at our media buyer. It looks like Citrix will not be on for Q3. Probably be back in Q4. So we're really going to need the insiders. If you are thinking about supporting the show, this is the time. We could use about 1,000 of you to come in at $2, maybe even 1,500 of you to come in at $2 a month to support the show. We really... seriously, if you can come in as an insider, this would be a great time to do so. Come in at two. And we've gotten a number of single donations. I want to thank everyone that's been stepping up to the plate and helping out here. And it's really, you guys are stepping up, and I appreciate it. And all of you that have made some initial contributions or started a monthly contribution, you're going to be added to my insider list. We'll get you on the email list and make sure that you're in there. But thanks. Thank you so much for supporting the show. And everyone else, hey, it's like at the $2 a month plan, it's like 6 cents a day, 6.7 cents a day to support the show. So we hope that you'll consider the value for the show, and me being here producing it every Monday and Thursday for you. And next week is going to be a staycation. I'm going to be taking it easy around here, doing some house stuff and doing stuff with the kids and the beach and all that. But there will be two shows as normal next week. We won't miss the shows. But everyone, thanks for being here. We'll see you next time. Everyone, take care and aloha.